Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think Keating has taken a breath yet. He finished his sandwich. He's done. The dishes are done, man.
It's good, baby.
There you
good.
Go. Let's get the trash can over here.
It's good. Slam dunk.
Chris Keating from the Hartford Current joining us here in studio. It's always good. I like the fact that we should do this like on a quarterly basis.
True.
I think that would be good. We're a little bit of, would you call this a slow season for your beat?
I guess it all depends. There's always something coming up. I mean, you got the federal government shutdown, so it's not particularly slow. maybe in the old days it would be, quote, slow. But, you know, in the background, the legislature's thinking about a special session. You got the federal shutdown and everything that's going to happen with that. You know, is that going to be short term, long term? The longest one, as you may recall, was 35 days in 2019. In some ways you look at this and you think, you know, 35 days, that's not that much. In other ways, they should be able to solve it quickly, but, in Washington, they're kind of in.
Well, I think there's incentive on both sides not to, right? So the Trump administration would love to just leverage this and clean house with a bunch
yes.
of bureaucracy, and the Democrats want to see if they can win. I think that, I come from it. I hope people understand. I don't have any skin in the game. I don't have a side I want to win this battle. But I think the Democrats are playing a dangerous game here, because if they met Trump is very good at messaging. And if he can pin this on them, regardless of the altruism of the endeavor, it could really hurt them in the midterms. And people say, well, there's all these millions of people losing health care. Like, and we just talked to Jen Tucker a little bit, and I want to get to her in a second. You know, until we know what the concrete impact is, who knows? And who knows if those people are going to vote in the midterms? I think it's a risk.
No, Trump is good at messaging. He's very good. And the fact that you could twist it around already and say that it's the Democrats' fault is quite something at a time when the Republicans, as people know, have the House and the Senate and the White House.
What in 2019, who got blamed? Because it was another Trump administration shutdown, right?
Yeah, Trump was there 35 days.
But who got blamed for that one?
Who got blamed?
I don't remember. I don't remember. So I'm trying to look at it right now as we speak.
Yeah, I don't completely remember as far as who got blamed in the blame game. There's a lot of people out there who kind of blame everyone in Washington. I think the sides are already, the battle lines are already drawn. In other words, people on Trump's side are blaming the Dems and vice versa. I think people already know who they're going to blame.
So the quote was, you know, Schumer and Pelosi met with the president and they wouldn't accept the couple billion dollars for border funding. And the president was quoted, this is not a paraphrase, I'm proud to shut down the government for border security.
Yeah, it was the fight was over building the wall. You don't hear too much about the wall anymore. But the fight
turns
was
out
over
you didn't need. It's funny. Turns out you didn't need the wall.
Yeah, you don't have the wall.
But they didn't need it to. The border is there are fewer border crossings now than in decades, and they didn't need the wall for. They just right. needed to intimidate the daylights out of people and scare them, and you know that they'd be arrested and sent back home pretty quickly. I want to get more into the shutdown's impact on Connecticut because I know you've written on it. I want to talk a little bit about the Connecticut use of, you know, whether we're going to use the rainy day fund for a bunch of different stuff. And I want to talk a little pizza and some other things with Christopher Keating from the Hartford Current. You go to current.com And I'll tell you, so he doesn't have to. First of all, he does a great job covering politics. But the more you click on his stuff, the more likely he's going to stay in business. So please do so. We're here with Christopher Keating from the Hartford Courant. You can go to current.com. I want to start with Lamont, and then I'll turn our attention to some more gubernatorial things. So he had a news conference yesterday.
Yes.
And he was talking about the shutdown. What did he say?
Correct.
And you can read about this at current.com, by the way.
Yeah, the shutdown covers a lot of bases. By that, I mean everybody's worried about the money. There's all these programs, SNAP, which is really known as food stamps. In the old days, WIC, which is women, infants, and children. All of these programs or a lot of them run on federal money. But the number one thing that I got out of it, or one of the things I got out of it, essentially until Halloween, there's spillover money. So the federal government shut down as of October 1st. Today is the 2nd. It's not like they're running out of money and the spigot doesn't end immediately. So there's wiggle room in most of these programs. I'm not going to say all, most of these programs until Halloween. So do you have to be worried and jump off the roof? No.
Well, there's two things to that. One is, so basically you wouldn't feel the direct pain until about a month in, but the money that's here now can cover what's there. So there won't be a gap to fill there too. That money's already there. Is that your point?
Yeah. There is money left over. Lamont calls it reserves. There is money left over in the accounts of the state accounts.
Like an escrow or type thing? Or?
Yeah, essentially. Well, sometimes they don't, you know,
it's always
just
found money. I know. It's
say again. It's not necessarily found money. It's in the state budget. You might not have spent every penny every day and you're down to nothing in your checking account. Right. So there's money left over, but one of the important points is, if the state puts money in, they're going to go back to the feds and say, you know, kind of, you owe us this money.
Right.
They're going to send them an invoice and say, hey, you got to pay us back.
Yeah. I mean, it begs a larger issue that you might not want to touch, but I mean, these things always show me, and the same with Medicaid, how dependent, you know, cause we had all these, when we were in grade school and in civics, state versus federal, and the fear of the centralized government through the creation of this country, right? And then you see issues like this, and you realize how dependent states are on federal money.
Oh, yeah, big time. Big time. Big time. No, like the WIC program, for example, is women, infants, and children, it's called. It's for generally for lower income and poor people. What it is 11,000 women, 11,000 infants, and then 30,000 children of those mothers. So in round numbers, that's 52,000 people
impacted
who need this money. Yeah, and it's about $200,000 a day.
What about the governor in terms of his presence? I mean, you're assuming he runs, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. He hasn't said that. We've asked him 100 times.
Why is he demure? Like, why do it this way? Why not just say it?
I think the main thing, he really doesn't, it might sound funny or facetious, it's wrong, he doesn't like the politics. In other words, he enjoys being governor, incredibly. He enjoys the governing. He doesn't really like the politics. Even a guy like Dan Malloy seemed like he enjoyed the politics better. He enjoyed the scrum. He enjoyed a fight against the Republicans and all that. Lamont, if you notice, as you do, he doesn't go out of his way to pick fights with Republicans.
Right.
He doesn't. That's not his personality. It's not in his
name. Well, but also it's because his politics align with them in a lot of different ways.
Okay, good point. Good point. But on a personal level, he's not a pugilistic fighter.
So, but what does that have to do with him saying he's going to do it?
It keeps people at bay, or at least he
thinks. So it shortens the political season for the gubernatorial race.
And that's what he wants.
Interesting.
That's what he wants. And today's October 2nd. I don't want to say it's getting late, but think the other candidates have announced, right?
Yeah. I mean, and listen, Josh Elliott, I think it's a symbolic thing. I think he wants to get his message out. I don't think he's a threat to Ned Lamont. And I would say that to Josh directly. I think he, for the stuff he believes in, he does a good job with it. And for the Republicans, I think that Mayor Stewart will say she plays to win, and Fazio will say that too. But I think that they're positioning themselves for 2030.
Yeah, no, that could be. And with the thought process that Lamont would not run again. Lamont's 71 years old. There's nothing illegal about that. But he's going to be 73 when if he wins the first day in office, he will be 73. Okay, in January when he takes that office. So when he leaves, he'd be 77, not 29. So to think that he would do another term after this would be kind of crazy.
I don't think that anyone would expect that.
No, agreed.
But I think that, as I've said to like Sean Scanlon too, and I want to talk more about this in our next block. Scanlon can wait, Stewart can wait, Fauci can wait 10 years.
Yes,
and they'd still be young.
Yes,
so they don't have to rush. And I think that even though they won't admit it, I think it's smart for them to put everything they can into it, so more people get to know them for down the road. You know,
yeah.
I just don't understand what Stewart's going to do in the interim, or Fauci, or like, what are they going to do if they run and don't win for the interim 4 years?
Yeah, there's a whole theory and a reality out there. Most people do not win the first time. You got to run a couple of times for your average person out there, whether it's national or whether it's local. Very, very rare that you win the first time. Bill Clinton was one of the exceptions. But on both sides of the aisle, John McCain, Mitt Romney, these guys ran for years before they even got the nomination.
Interesting. Do you think the state, I think Lamont's politics, they were not that different from Charlie Baker, a Republican who ran Massachusetts. Do you think the state is ready again to elect a Republican governor?
You mean when Lamont leaves, in other words? It depends on the person.
And I'm not saying they can't beat him. I'm saying that the odds are very slim.
Depends on the person. For about 16 years in a row, I've been around for a while, we had Republicans. Lowell Weicker was an independent, but he was originally a Republican. John Rowland, Jody Rell. It depends on the person.
It seems so long ago at this point. Right?
Yeah, but that was a long run. That was like 16 years. The Dems were not there for a long, long time. And then Malloy got in.
I want to put a pin in that for when we come back, because I'm curious about what's changed in our politics in Connecticut that has made, because we're so Democrat dominant at the state capitol right now.
Very much, yes.
It's just a tremendous swing. We're talking with Christopher Keating. Again, you can go to current.com and read all of his stuff. I tend to just click on his name, and then you go to his jump page with all of his work. Most recently, reading in today's paper about a couple different things. We got the state, $9,000 to peddle pizza across the state. And we'll talk a little bit about that as well. We're back here with Chris Keating of the Hartford Courant. Again, you go to current.com. You can read his stuff. I think the most recent one is about, I don't know, you made it seem like $9,000 was a ton to spend on something like that. I think it's money well spent for the
well,
pizza
that's
trail.
What the debate's about. I hear you. I hear you.
I don't know. I just think 100's too many. I think that's the mistake. I think 100, give me 20, 5, 20.
It's
too many.
No, I hear you. The whole on the bus tour and everything. Yeah,
did you go on the bus? Are you going on the bus?
No, did not go on the bus.
It's why not? You're not big enough an influencer. You don't have enough followers on Instagram.
Well, the influencers are kind of amazing. You know, I was around before the influencers. It's a new way to get the word out. You know, you don't take an ad in the New York Times anymore. You can get the influencers and. Some of these guys have, 900,000 people on YouTube channel or whatever. And,
millions.
Millions for the real big ones. Yeah. 30 million. Yeah. 30 million on some of them. But on what I mean by that is some are on TikTok, some are on YouTube, et cetera. Yeah. Yeah. They usually don't have 30 on one outlet. That would be a lot on one outlet.
Well, I'll show you, what does Mr. Beast have, Matt? I mean, he must have... I can go to YouTube for Mr. Beast. Hold on. He might blow you away. You don't even know who he is, right?
Good point. Good point. How'd you know? You're very good.
I have kids that are teens. But I'll just...
What does Mr. Beast do?
442 million followers on YouTube.
Really?
Yeah. And in fact, he makes so much money, he does these random things to give away $500,000.
All the listeners out there right now on TIC, raise your hand if you ever heard of Mr. Beast, okay? All right.
Well,
85% did not. Thank you.
He blinks and makes it $1 million. But anyway, let's get back to brass tacks. I'm curious. We left before the break talking a little bit about, you talked about the Weicker, Roland Rell era of, I know Weicker started off as a Republican, but a Republican strength at the state level. And now the Democrats have so much control over the state legislature. And seemingly, I do think that Fazio and Stewart May not be this time around, but I think they can definitely be governor. I definitely think they can be. But right now that the Democrats dominate, what changed to make that happen?
The Democrats are incredibly well organized. The Republicans might not want to admit that, but the Democrats goes all the way back. There was a guy named Ethan Rome back in the old days who's kind of a strategist for the
So he wasn't a senator, representative, or anybody.
Correct.
He was a
strategist for the House Democrats when Ritter's father was the speaker.
And why was he so good and effective?
I don't know. Why was he so good? That's like asking why, you know, Zbigniew Brzezinski was so smart, you know? He was just very, very, very good. Anyway, make a long story short, the Democrats have done a better job. You could bring the Republicans on and ask them. The Democrats have done an incredible job of organizing. Back to the point, you got to remember when we had five people, three out of the five congressional people were Republicans. Not that long ago. You're talking Rob Simmons, Nancy Johnson, and Chris Shays.
Yeah.
Okay, that's not that. Go back to 2006. It's not super long ago. Rell was governor, Republican.
Yeah.
Three out of the five were Republican. So it's not.
But you can't just tell me some dude who was pretty savvy helped orchestrate a shift. It's got to be something a little bit more.
He started it. He started it, and it's gone on ever since then. If you talk to, and I cover campaigns all the time, if you talk to these guys, the level of organization and the level of strategy by the Democrats straight through the line from soup to nuts is huge. And that's part of it. And the Democrats will tell you that the Republicans at the top of the ticket have not had very good candidates, okay, for governor and all these other things. They will tell you that, and that the Republicans, I mean, you can fight all day and argue these so-called self-funded millionaires who all lost. And by that, I mean
Stefanowski.
Yes.
Foley.
Tom Foley, Linda McMahon. They usually run twice each. All those three that we mentioned all ran twice each, lost twice each, and were mostly self-funded millionaires who came out of the blue, who had no
political experience
and never held public office before.
Yeah.
All right. So therefore, I think Erin Stewart, I think it's part of her campaign. They will tell you that that formula doesn't work, that we've tried that. OK, so now who do you have on the Republican side? You got Fazio and Stewart, who are not self-funded millionaires and who do hold public office. So it's a bit of a switch.
Yeah, we're talking with Chris Keating from the Hartford Courant. So you think they have a chance?
I think, you know, Lamont is obviously the favorite.
Let's talk about 20.
Lamont.
Mm-hmm.
In the future, yeah. I don't rule
anybody
out.
You could foresee a scenario where Republicans return to the governorship.
Oh, yeah.
Would there be an opportunity? Well, I guess we can hold it because I'm really fascinated. I haven't been around covering stuff as long as you, so I don't know. I can't challenge you on a point. I just feel like there's got to be a sort of a grander element there that's led to this shift. But I'm more interested in what would help it shift back a little bit. I think the government in Connecticut's not competitive enough. I think Vince and his caucus are great. I admire them for not just being against things. They almost always have a counter proposal, whereas I don't think that happens at the federal level that much. But I think it's important.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you know
Browns
why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
To have more Republicans in the legislature so there's more competitive government. I just think it creates better governance.
Yeah. The other thing we didn't mention and we should is the incredible change in demographics in Fairfield County and the 5th District, Western Connecticut.
Okay. The change was to get more blue?
Way more blue, yes, correct. In the old days, and by the old days, not that long ago, the 70s, 80s, 90s, it was unthinkable. Chris Shays had that seat down there for 21 years, okay? Jim Himes didn't get it till 08 when Obama had a huge turnout in Bridgeport, and that knocked Shays out. Shays, well, I don't know if he'd still be there today, but Shays was there for 21 years. It was unthinkable, unthinkable in Greenwich, New Canaan, Darien, all those towns that the Democrats could be in charge. The demographic shift, it started first in Litchfield County and the 5th District. That started before, but Fairfield County has moved blue hugely. Huge. And the 5th District, and by that I mean Litchfield County and beyond. So you got Jahana Hayes there. And that all started with Chris Murphy back in 06.
Right.
So
wouldn't it be nasty?
So it's not just the it's not just the organization that I told you about, but it's this demographic shift. Jim Himes is, I don't know, entrenched. Nobody's beating him.
Yeah. Well, he's a moderate, though. He's not like a big progressive. A couple more minutes with Chris Keating of the Hartford Current here on Brian and Company. Before I get to the potential for a special session. You told me you grew up a Mets fan, but somehow you're now a Yankee fan. How does that work?
No, I grew up a Mets fan. When I was a kid, my father worked for CBS when CBS owned the Yankees before they sold the team to Steinbrenner. So what did that mean?
Oh, so in the early 70s, late 60s?
Yes, late 60s, early 70s, CBS, the television network, owned the Yankees and sold them to Steinbrenner. Anyway, so what did that mean? That meant that since my father worked at CBS, Chris Keating would sit behind the dugout at Yankee Stadium in the owner's box. Nice. So how could you not? How could you not enjoy the team and watch the team? I mean, my brother was a bigger Yankees fan than I, and my father was a bigger Yankees fan than I. But if you're sitting behind the dugout in the six-person owner's box,
how can you not like it?
How can you not like it? Yeah, and then the segue on that was there was an old lady that was sitting next to us. Well, not next to us, but in our section. I'm looking over and I'm seeing him. And then Bob Shepard, in the seventh or eighth or maybe ninth inning, comes up and says, "Ladies and gentlemen," you know, Bob Shepard with his voice, "Ladies and gentlemen, behind the Yankees dugout, we'd like to introduce Mrs. Babe Ruth." And nowadays, you know, there'd be 45 security people. They would never announce anybody who was there. So this old lady who was sitting there stands up and waves her hand, and she's Mrs. Babe Ruth. So what did I do? I ran after her. Then she went down a tunnel after that. I ran after her. I got her autograph. And she signed it, Mrs. Babe Ruth.
Of course.
And her name was probably like Claire Smith. and she signed it, Mrs. Babe Ruth.
That's a great story.
So anyway, that's so how can I not follow the Yankees?
I gotcha. Hey, listen, so we were told there was going to be a special session, but here we are in the fall, and we haven't had one. Initially, I thought it would be about housing. What other issues, I don't know. But it seems like the housing bill is kind of a toxic topic now for a lot of people, and I'm not sure. So just talk about whether we're going to have one and what would be in it.
I think we will have a special session. There's going to be literally a meeting tomorrow to help finalize, or not even finalize, get it further down the road on what topics are on there. It's very fluid, more fluid than usual.
Why is that?
Because they can't agree, generally. They can't agree.
On?
Well, housing and a whole bunch of other things. When Lamont...
Well, you have the special session to come to an agreement, don't you?
Yes, but usually you have to have an agreement before you go in, or else you don't have the votes lined up, you know, obviously. The June 23rd was the day Lamont vetoed the housing bill.
Right.
So on June 24th and all that, they all said, we're going to come together, we're going to work together, you know, we're committed to it, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, we thought there'd be a special session like the next month.
Yes. So the whole summer goes by. You show up after Labor Day. I started calling the legislative leaders after that. Hey, what'd you accomplish during the summer? You got a deal? No deal. Now is a month later after that, as you just said, it's October 2nd. No deal. Certainly not a bipartisan deal.
Yeah.
Jason Rojas, who's the guy running it, has been working on this behind the scenes. But as far as a public announcement of what's in the bill or a public announcement of any agreement, no. No.
So would a special session solely deal with that, or will it end up dealing with other issues like the shutdown or Medicaid potential shortfalls or anything like that?
Correct, correct. The amount of money, it gets a little nerdy, but there's something called the volatility transfer.
Oh, yeah.
They have to decide how much money will be taken from that. Normally, all right, in the past, this money, a lot of the surplus money immediately automatically goes into the pension funds because they basically didn't put any money in the pension funds for like 70 years.
Right.
Which is really not a bright idea. I would not say that. You know, don't do that. In other words, don't not put any money in your 401k from age 34 to 64 and then wake up at 64 and say, hey, I got no money.
Yeah.
That's what happened in the state. So anyway, they're also going to do several bills on children's mental health and education, a series of bills that the House had passed and got filibustered by Republicans in the Senate. Ritter says, we're bringing those back up. You're not going to filibuster those forever. We're bringing those back up in special session.
So they won't just wait for the next regular session. They'll do it in a special session.
That's what he wants to do,
yes. I wanted to finish here in our last 3 minutes with Chris Keating of the Hartford Courant. You wrote something about, you know, this issue of free speech, and you talked to some officials in the wake of Charlie Kirk's assassination. And, you know, when I was on a college campus, there truly was, you know, I have friends who were conservative and they felt silenced in college. And so there's this history of that happening. And then when it flips and all of a sudden that there's just clamoring that it's now the left is being victimized by it. Right. And I find myself, I'm just curious, forget about, like, for a second, the people you interviewed and the people, the officials. As a journalist, do you find yourself self-editing at all? Are you still able to be blinded by your quote-unquote objectivity or desire just to get the story and the facts?
Well, yeah, that's how I overcome it personally. In other words, I try to get both sides and all sides on something.
But do you say to yourself, oh, if I write it that way, someone's going to push me back on that in a way that maybe that you didn't think about it before? And I'm not, it's not a leading question because you may be able to completely be myopic about it. I don't know.
I don't consciously do that. In other words, if I have some Dem going off on some screed about something, I do my best to get a Republican back, and or some Trumper, I do my best to get the other side. So I can partially avoid that. In other words, if I can get all the voices in there, then I can get it done. But if you're saying self-censorship, you mean like saying I'm not going to write about topic X because it's too hot, as an example? I mean, I every day I'm writing about Trump. I'm writing about contentiousness every day. So that's part of the name of the game. In my head, in what I do, it's more a game about balance than anything else. In other words, every day you're getting emails or something from Trumpers, anti-Trumpers, both sides, right? And every day there's press conferences or protests out in front of the Capitol saying either Trump is not too much of the Trump's the greatest, but Trump's the worst. And then you have to get the other side, if that makes sense. I don't know if I'm answering that well, but
No, it's fine. Because I think about this all the time. I find myself a little bit more self-conscious. I try not to be self-editing, but I find myself thinking about it. And I guess the last question, it's a kind of a cliche question, but I haven't asked it of you. Is this, from your observations nationally, the most divisive it's been in your time on this earth?
Yeah, it feels that way.
I wasn't around for McCarthy, and you weren't either.
No. It feels that way. I mean, it's a lot of times, you know, you call up the police and they say, morale's never been this low. And then you call them 3 years later, morale's never been worse.
Right.
You know, you call up the Hartford PD, we've never had worse morale. So it seems to be the worst. 1968 was pretty bad.
Yeah.
It seems to be. The first Trump administration, there was a lot of contentiousness. I mean, if you think about it just for a minute, during Obama, there was a lot of contentiousness. During Biden, there was contentiousness. However, you know, since we're living in this today, does it feel like it's the most contentious? Yes. Hmm. Is it really? I don't know, but it does feel that way. Yeah.
Thank you, Chris. It's good to see you. Always
no
love
problem.
Having you in studio. It's fun. And you got Tommy, and you got to see history.
There
you
go.
Witnessed history today.
Amazing.
Morgan Cunningham.
Amazing.
Got food at the food truck.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.